so much.
Greetings. This is James Gillen with As You Wish Talk Radio, broadcasting live from the East Seti Ranch. We've got an awesome show tonight. We're actually broadcasting during the Science, Spirit, and World Transformation Conference. And we've got the whole lineup here hanging out at the ranch, and it's pretty amazing lineup. We've got, you know, Mary Rodwell, Dolores Cannon, Paula Harris, Brooks Agnew, Renato Longato. I'm trying to remember all these speakers. Lisa Renee's here. Just a whole amazing cast. John Kelly. Quite a few people are here right now, and hopefully we can go around and snag them and get them to come on the air for just a few minutes each. And we have a very distinguished guest, which I was just on his show a little while ago, and that's Mel Fabregas with Veritas Show. So hopefully we can get Mel on the show. Mel, are you with us?
I am with you. Thanks for having me on, James.
Hey, I'm so glad you got to come up to the ranch and actually experience, you know, some of the crazy stuff going on up here.
Well, it's actually a new meaning to me, to the word experience, because I had low expectations, I must confess, but I did see my very first UFO last night. So this has been a transformational trip for me, and I look forward to seeing more tonight.
What do you think of the speakers and the lineup that we have so far?
Oh, what an outstanding lineup of speakers we have. As a matter of fact, I have the honor to be standing next to some of them right here, and it's a great experience to be rubbing elbows with such a great group of luminaries. So I look forward to listening to the rest for the next couple of days.
So how would you say this has been very transforming, wouldn't you say, as far as experiencing the UFOs here, the energy here, just about everything, I guess. It's been quite an experience.
Well, this may sound humorous to some people, but if you look at the word transformation in the dictionary and you saw a picture, I see a picture of the East Seti Ranch right now. That's how I feel. Really, about a year ago, if anybody told me that I was going to be here, I was more the scientific methodology person, and I would never think that I would be entertaining being here. But as time goes by, and I speak to so many guests all the time, I think this is where disclosure is happening. We cannot expect disclosure coming from our government. And here we're doing that in a grassroots level with so many wonderful people. The energy that we have is just, to me, I have never seen anything like this ever anywhere around the world. So I must congratulate you, James, for the vision, for creating this site that is just pure light for humanity.
Oh, thank you so much. You know, we've got, you look at the lineup, we've got like Michal Ledwith here, used to be an advisor to the Pope. You know, we've got Brooks Agnew. We have all these people that are physicists, top scholars in their fields coming here and going through their own transformation. You know, you think after 24 years of this, people would figure it out. What do you think's holding back this from getting out to the rest of the public?
I don't think the powers that be want people to wake up. They want people to remain in an apathetic mode. And let's take, for example, Dr. Brooks Agnew. He was on my show a few months ago. And I really pressed him to talk about the experience. And he was very hesitant because, as you know, he comes from academia. And it's not easy for somebody from academia to really share the feelings as to what happened. But he did in such an outstanding way that I was just mesmerized. And then you came on the show and gave your perspective as to what happened with them. And there's no way that people who are listening out there are not curious, at least, to be able to make the contact that we're making here. This is happening at a grassroots level. And I think that with a lot of right, those who are in power, that is their religion. They have re-election, and they don't want people to wake up. There's many people in government that are concerned that more and more people are waking up. And everybody who's here in your ranch tonight has woken up already.
Yeah. You know, what do you think about what I'm seeing in the future is maybe a live Mel Fabregas Veritas show right here at East Seti?
I would love to do so. I was thinking about doing it yesterday, but unfortunately I didn't have the equipment. But maybe next year. And
I've
said it on the show many times that I've never seen a UFO. I've seen a few things that are questionable, but I'm the type of person that if I cannot prove it, I won't say it. But what I saw last night, folks, was just unbelievable. I didn't even need infrared lenses to see it. and we were just mesmerized. And this was with an overcast sky. Tonight, the sky is completely, completely open. So we're looking forward to another good night tonight, James.
Oh, yeah, I think it's going to be a great night. I can't wait to get the cameras out there. And we're actually live streaming it, so people will be able to watch the UFOs and experience this firsthand.
Absolutely. I mean, technology is on our side here. I mean, who would have thought years ago that you could plug in a computer, put some infrared lenses to it, and let the world experience what we are experiencing? And right here next to me, I just saw Dr. Brooks Agnew, who was the catalyst for me being here. So, yes, it's just an incredible experience. And as you can tell, it sounds as if I'm so excited, but I am. I really have no words to explain what it feels to be surrounded by so many people in the same boat, same wavelength. This is something you don't see in the traditional concrete jungle, if you will.
Mm-hmm. Hey, well, thanks so much for coming on the show and actually having me on your show and Dr. Brooks Agnew it's quite an honor to have you here and be on your show as well.
The honor is all mine, and I hope to have you back again to my show in the near future.
Great. Is Dr. Agnew there?
He is right here next to me. Dr. Brooks Agnew.
Great.
Hello, I'm here.
Hey, welcome back.
Good to be back. I went up and visited the Trout Lake Abbey.
Uh-huh. And, he's an interesting character there. He's doing the Zen monkhood thing.
Yeah, it's kind of weird to have Druidism and Buddhism on the same place, but it's very cool.
Yeah, they come over here every now and then, and every time I have a very amazing guest come over, or somebody or a speaker, he always runs over here and meets them. Hopefully he'll come out to do a Skywatch.
He wasn't. He had to get up at 3 o'clock in the morning, but anyway.
Oh, okay. Hey, Brooks, I think what I'm going to do is just turn this show over to you, and you can interview the rest of the guests, just because having a three-way feed would be a little crazy, and I know you've got some great guests waiting there, so I think I'll just turn it over to you and have a great show.
Okay, that's fine.
All right, take care.
All right, thank you. Well, welcome to As You Wish Radio. We're going to continue the interviews. I have next to me Alfred Lambermont Weber, a longtime friend and activist in exopolitics, former attorney, writes a lot of legal opinions and keeps the world on their toes, watching, making sure the fires stay nice and hot, to which he holds the politicians' feet. So please welcome Alfred Lambermont Weber.
Thank you, Brooks. I feel so humbled and honored every time that I come here. Several weeks ago, I was on James's show and we were talking about the feline beings and the Mary figure that Khan had photographed here, and I wasn't quite sure whether or not to put them in the program, the model of the intelligent civilizations in the multiverse that I had made for the conference, because I didn't feel that if that was proper or not. And when I arrived at the Portland airport, the first thing that Ben said is, he said, oh, you know, when we were listening to As You Wish Radio, and you and James started to talk about the feline multidimensional beings, we got a lot of interference. And I knew that was the signal that the feline beings should be, you know, that it was okay for me to begin to incorporate the images of the feline beings and their energies in Mary. So I went up and asked James, and he says, yes, please do. So, and when James began to explain how it is that Khan is shifting dimensions here, and how the beings come and shift dimensions here in order to be photographed. So that really is a living model here. I mean, it's not that we're gathering data here as scientists, but rather we're in a living hologram and communicating that to the world. And I hope that these words can humbly express the reality that's occurring here.
Well, I have a question. So you're saying that feline energy does manifest itself on this planet. You know, I have seen MRIs of people, and as you take away the layers of human skin and human muscle, sometimes, not often, but sometimes, you can see the structure of a feline in the face of a human being. So it does seem that somewhere in human development, there has been feline energy in the past. So are you saying that they're involved somehow in the evolution of mankind?
Well, certainly from the evidence of the feline beings that have communicated with Khan and with James, from the evidence of the many thousands of cases that Dr. Michael Newton has regressed, we souls do incarnate as felines. So it may be that we in this room have had feline lives. I can see it right here. It kind of jumps out at you, right? and you know, with the MRI, you're just taking away layers and coming down to a deeper structure of the being.
That is completely fascinating. You know, the room here at ESETI is full of celebrities and speakers here at the conference. So I'm going to keep going around the room and see if we can get more and more individuals here. We got Etuk here. He is from Alaska. He's an activist. He's active in lobbying for Alaskan rights and for Indian rights and Eskimo rights. And I'd like him to say a few words to us here tonight.
Hello. This is a very wonderful moment in time for all of us to be awakened. And it is time that we face reality and not falsify what we see. And it is so pronounced that we are not alone. And this is the greatest opportunity for peace of mankind to evolve in international peace with the universe forever. And God promised us forever a long time ago. Thank you.
I tell you, the energy here is very high, and the enlightenment to the people when you sit in these conferences and listen to the passion, the life work that people put into a 90-minute presentation, it really takes your breath away, and you leave here not with a workshop high. You really leave with a life-changing experience. So I'm going to continue on around the room. We have John Kelly with us, and he is an expert in speech patterns and even reverse speech, and I want him to share with us a little bit of what he spoke about.
Thank you, Brooks. It's great to be back at the ranch and having a sensational time and so many different experiences. I brought some of my audio catalog with my reverse speech examples from many, many...
we're back at East Eddy. Strange things happen when we're here. Strange energies, not only from Mount Adams, but also the personalities that are here. From time to time, those personalities and energies can get so strong it can mess with the wireless phones. So that was John Kelly talking to us about reverse speech and his catalogs of recordings that he's made over time. And we're going to move on to Paula Harris. I'll hand the phone to her. Here you go.
I didn't do it. I'm very honored to be here with James and all the crew, his wonderful staff. And I wanted to just tell everybody this is exciting to be part of this historical meeting here at the ranch. I hope everybody gets a chance to come out here. My contribution is like Lois Lane with Superman. I just report the news and the interviews I do from all over the world. I hope I can give everybody an international perspective, and I'm very, very happy to be with all these wonderful energies on this ranch.
Hello, I'm Mary Rodwell, and I'm from Australia, an AusPom, because I originated from the UK as well, so I haven't got an Australian accent, but I met James a number of years ago, I think it was in 2000, and immediately we discovered we were on the same page, because we were talking about the lion beings, and many of my clients see lion beings, but what I think has been amazing is that people are starting to understand it's not about UFOs, it's not about bright lights in the sky, it's about us as a species, it's about us growing and changing in consciousness and evolving, and that's what my work with people who have experiences finally is about. It's about them finding out who they are, why they're here, who they where they're going and where we're going as a species. So it's a wonderful journey for them, and it's the most amazing journey for me. I feel very honored to be here with so many beautiful souls, all teaching me how much and how little I know. And I'm hoping that in the process that they also enjoy some of my sharing as well. So it's been amazing to not only share that, but be in a place where you can experience so much in this beautiful space in the East Eddy Ranch. So there you go. Thank you very much.
Okay, I'm Dolores Cannon. And I'm honored to be here also with all these people. As I know Mary, we go back many, many years. We've been doing research together for many years, comparing our notes and the things we have found. And that's good. That's one thing good about this field is that we do find people of like minds that we can share. And that helps us to know we're not out there by ourselves. Otherwise, we would be the oddballs. We would be the ones everybody would look at that were crazy. But we do have other people that think the same way. But my work is in hypnosis and hypnotherapy. And I've been in hypnosis for over 40 years, doing past life regressions for over 30 years, but 25 years investigating the UFO and the ET phenomena. And I've had thousands of cases, and I have investigated the crop circles in England for many, many years. And I'm happy to say that me and Mary agree, we have only found positive. We have not found anything negative that's out there to hurt us. Once you understand what it's all about. But I work in the deeper levels, and so does Mary, to where we're able to get to the part of the mind that has the truth. We bypass the emotion of the conscious mind, and then we get to what's really happening. And it's positive and it's beautiful. And it definitely follows a pattern. And I've written 4 books about what I've found with the UFO phenomena. And we are finding more and more. Everywhere I go now, more people are interested in metaphysics. They're opening up. They're not afraid to ask questions. And our job is to take the fear away because there's nothing to be afraid of. We're moving into a miraculous new world. This is a wonderful time to be alive right now. And we're all a part of it. And that's good. So thanks for asking me to come here. Okay.
You know, when I first came here to the East Eddy Ranch in 2006, I was just a dumb old scientist and an engineer. And I really wasn't expecting anything to happen because I didn't know what happened here. But it was interesting when I arrived, they called it a sanctuary. And at first I thought, oh, this is a sanctuary for the ETs so they can come here and not be molested. And after I was here and I spoke and I had an amazing experience myself, I realized that the sanctuary was for us. It was so we could come here and share our feelings openly and our testimonies and our feelings and our experiences without being called crazy. So if you feel like that, if you're out there somewhere, you've had an experience, you need a sanctuary, this is it. I'm going to turn the phone over to a good friend of mine. Her name is Lisa Renee. She's a star child in her own right, and I'll let her explain what she's doing.
Thank you, Brooks. Again, it's a pleasure to be here at the East City Ranch. This is my second year in a row. And, of course, off the heels of coming from Egypt over the last 2 weeks, I find it interesting. I had 2 days to acclimate and be here at the sanctuary of East City. It was all so appropriate for me. So this year, again, I get to speak about tomorrow. The cosmology of the universe and the guardians are actually speaking about certain changes that are happening within the planetary grid, which I'll explain about in terms of the ascension plan. And again, from their particular perspective, ascension in terms of being defined as how consciousness moves through time-space fields, feeling more empowered with the context of a cohesive process of how this actually transpires. Because as more and more of the global awakening occurs, as we have a context of how this actual process is natural, is biological, is a part of our natural evolution as a species, we then can be comforted in that understanding and growth and expansion as a natural part of who we are as we are rediscovering and remembering the organic nature of human consciousness is that which is connected to the cosmos, to the cosmic intelligences. And we're indeed in a very exciting time for the human race. And again, tomorrow I hope to touch on some of those points that really just give us comfort and cohesion and understanding that we're here as family, we're here as a species undergoing a completely revelatory way of understanding our relationship to self, our relationship to God. And we're all family. So again, thank you so much for inviting me. It's a pleasure to be here with this family. And again, Brooks, it's so wonderful to have you here too. Thank you.
Well, I appreciate it, but I didn't want to let you get away too easily. You just returned from Egypt, and this was a sort of a spontaneous trip. You are a widely known grid worker. And when you showed up at a very auspicious moment, at a very auspicious place, the grid connected. Without stealing too much thunder from your upcoming presentation, could you share with us just a couple of moments of that?
Well, thank you, Brooks, for opening the door. You're so good at this. A part of my grid work and relationship with the Guardian Consciousness, which is a group and collective consciousness, has been about reconfiguring what they call the collective human emotional body. The collective human emotional body is also known as the astral plane or the fourth dimensional plane. And so the opening into the Giza Plateau is actually the opening of what they call the fourth dimensional plane or the solar shield. The solar shield, of course, is going through tremendous changes, and I think some of that has been evidenced in some of our recent presentations in talking about the changes in not only the magnetosphere but the solar storms, what's happening, the coronal mass ejections, the activity that's happening with the sun. Certainly, this is very much part and parcel of our changing consciousness and our relationship to the cosmos. And so going to Egypt was actually extremely profound in working for me at this level with the fourth dimensional grid system. And so from the Guardian perspective, they describe the Sphinx area of the Giza Plateau as the opening to the solar shield. And, of course, many mythologies and understanding of what the Sphinx holds and what this area of the planet holds, for them, they describe it as the collective emotional body that, therefore, is an intelligence factor. And the intelligence factor held in the collective emotional body has hidden histories of humanity's experience of as a consciousness with this planet and even beyond this planet, and it's recorded as consciousness. So when we understand that energy is conscious and consciousness is energy, the levels of intelligence that can be actually accessed through these energy forms, frequency forms, intelligence forms, are starting to come into the grid complex of the planet in a new way, meaning those of us that are attuned to that level and are willing to receive at that level are able to receive hidden histories of extraterrestrial involvement, meaning human beings are extraterrestrial. We are from the stars. Our history with extraterrestrials and certainly all that has been magnified and experienced here at ESETI, which is a part and parcel of that moving grassroots consciousness into our cosmic citizenship and intelligence with the ETs. Certainly that information is very much a part of Giza and the Egyptian histories. And so at this particular time, one of the most profound moments of my life is I got the thumbs up to go to Egypt. I knew I would return home. I knew that I would return to Egypt, yet the guardians told me it would be a very, very specific time. So on the June solstice, I got my opening. I got the thumbs up. They said, prepare to go to Egypt. I was there. I got to spend private time with the Sphinx and in many of the beautiful temples along the Nile. And so a lot of grid work, as you say, and activation of this particular area of the planet, which again connects to the collective emotional body of the human race. So that means all that has been recorded in consciousness is actually recorded at the apex of that intersection of the collective human emotional body. And from the guardian perspective, they say, at this time, the Hall of Records and species race memory is returning in a new way into the collective consciousness grid of which can be accessed in a much easier way than prior. So meaning, from their perspective, species race memory is returning to the grid.
I hope you got all that. There'll be an exam at the end of the program. You'll receive that by email because we know who you are. Speaking of ancient histories coming alive, nothing is really in the news, in the social mores of the world more than 2012. It's coming up. The discovery of the Mayan calendar, of the Pakal lid and Piedras Negras that gave us special insight that we're lining up with the rift in the Milky Way is really awakening people around the world of all cultures. And the question goes out, who left that message for us? Was it them? Was it us? Was it ETs? Well, we had an expert here with us today. His name is Renato Legado, and he made a marvelous, marvelous presentation today on 2012 and the awakening. I'm going to turn the phone over to him.
Thank you, Brooks. I'm really honored to be here for the second year in a row. And first thing first, last year we had a tremendous opportunity, a good experience, a fantastic collective experience. We were able to record four UFOs live in that moment. And one of the witnesses here is Lisa Renee. As a matter of fact, she was very close to me. She was yelling and screaming so high that I guess her energy, you know, attract more the UFOs than ever. So it was such an experience, and it's real. The ET presence is real. It's a reality merging into ours. They are here on a benevolent mission. They are cosmic anthropologists checking out how we can evolve, how we can progress, and also at the same time, what are we doing to our planet Earth? So we lost that contact with the green culture, with the green knowledge, with include and transcend of Mother Earth, of Pachamama, of all that information gathered from pre-Columbian cultures. And one of them is the Mayan culture that talk about the 2012, the Mayan calendar, which is, at the very end, an astro-theological, astronomical information or knowledge. How they receive it, we don't know. Perhaps it's just hidden in history, but we assume that there has been a contact with extraterrestrial intelligence, because that sophisticated knowledge, that higher mathematical level, must have been transmitted orally or in a different way from the elders of that culture. So years ago, when the conquistadors arrived, they thought that they were worshipping the sun. What they were doing is monitoring the sun, that we're doing right now with telescopes in observatories, because Father Sky and Mother Earth have a relation. And we are in the middle. We are the children. And we need to rescue those old traditions, applying new technologies, and understand it, because that is what we need. It's a cultural rescue of all that knowledge to continue here on this voyage and this blue planet, that we have to go through a journey. And we have all the elements right now to be in a big journey, the journey of our lifetime, never experienced in our history before, never experienced in any other culture, but predicted by foreseers, by prophets, but even the ETs, but people who are sensitive right now, they can reach this higher knowledge in higher realms and understanding that we're going to a major shift in our lifetime. And this is the moment that we have to be aware. We have to raise our consciousness level to understand these dramatic changes that we can have and we have to overcome in order to preserve life. What is the mission of the intelligent creature? Is to preserve life. And I think that even the ETs, they have their own issues also as cultures and civilizations. They must have overcome their own issues. They must have overcome their own problems in order to help us in a very different way. Not the way we think, not the way we always wanted to be helped. Perhaps in a different way that's going to be understood in the near future. And I do believe that all ancient cultures had the same message in a different way, delivered in a different way, that we also have our own knowledge, that we can go through these changes with also something very important, which is compassion, love, and a shift of consciousness, and also to develop common sense. I think we have lost some of common sense lately, and we have to rescue that. So I really appreciate the invitation of James to be here at eCity. You know, we have a wonderful lecture with Brooke Agnews, you know, yesterday, Lisa Renes tomorrow, Alfred Lambert on Weber, you know, in exopolitics, you know, and all these beautiful ladies that are giving us all this information, you know, Paula Harris, Barbara, lady that you have heard also about the research and investigation about ETs, our friend John Kelly about reverse speech, and all this information, I'm sure you're going to learn a lot. And we want to share that what is a major reality, that ET pressing is for real, is benign, and is part of our reality. So I'm glad to be here, and hopefully I'll be here next year, James. Yeah, that's a yes. Thank you, James.
Well, we've spoken today on As You Wish Radio with a good sampling of the many experts that have been here at the eSETI Science, Spirit, and Earth Transformation Conference. Some of you are listening by radio. You haven't had a chance to come here. You're just listening today. But you can participate tomorrow. You don't have to get on a plane. You don't have to make a 1,000-mile drive. Just go to eSETI.org, eCETI.org, and follow the links, and you can stream live. You'll see the same thing that anyone else is going to see on their DVDs when they leave this conference tomorrow. I highly recommend that you do so. You can pick up one full day. You'll see Lisa Renee. You'll see several other names. I don't have the roster in front of me. Yeah, Dolores Cannon. William Henry. Egyptian mythologist, Miha Ledwith. So those are the things that you can catch tomorrow. It's a fraction the price of making the trip up here, and if you wanted to come this year, you couldn't anyway, because it's sold out. But you can still participate and watch it live from the camera. So if there are any callers out there hanging on the line, they want to ask a question, they can call in. The number's 415. You know what the number is. It's right there on your screen. You're listening on your computer. I don't have a computer screen in front of me, so you know what it is. Just call in, ask your question. We have about 6 minutes left. Who do we have?
Joel.
We have Joel here from last year. He's an expert in the New Energy Congress. He knows just about all the new energy devices and energy-saving devices that are out there being developed. And this is Joel.
Thanks, Brooks. It's always a pleasure to come up here and reconnect my friendship with James that has been quite long-standing. And he's been very integrally involved in my own introduction to some of the new energy science. I run an organization called the New Energy Movement, which is a grassroots nonprofit designed to educate the public in a very non-technical way about amazing breakthroughs that are going on behind the scenes. And there's something that always occurs to me when I come up here and have a chance to reconnect with colleagues, some of whom are old colleagues like Alfred Weber and Brooks Agnew, and Lisa Renee, and lots of new faces as well. And something it really helps me feel inside is that the energy transition is not going to be just about technology. So many seem to be wrapped up in what's the science going to do for us? What's the gadget going to do for us? But it's much, much more than that. It's about healing. And when I see so many from the consciousness community that are here, that are sharing their knowledge, and so many from the consciousness community who are also here to learn, it really drives that fact home. And I see how this debacle happening in our beautiful Gulf of Mexico is driving a stake right through the heart of our planet, and it's also breaking open the hearts of the citizens of this planet, not just here in the United States, but globally. And that serves a much more powerful message than we ever could think to impart with our lectures and books and presentations. It is time for the awakening. It's time for healing. And the technologies are there. They are going to be rolled out. And I encourage each of you to take a little time, look at the newenergymovement.org website, look at the newenergycongress.org website, take advantage of the books and information so that you can personally become educated on what some of these incredible technologies are. It's going to take all of us to put pressure on powers to be to open up the doors and launch these things into the public domain, and I strongly encourage you to do so. Thank you.
Thank you, Joel. By the way, if you're watching the news and BP's debacle in the Gulf continues to be in the news, and that makes you angry, it makes you upset, it makes you worried about the health of our planet, I encourage you to go to newenergymovement.org, and if you've got the ability, find one of those technologies and send them money. That's the kind of thing that will save the planet. Those are the technologies that will clean up the water, clean up the air, and get us off of the oil that's spewing out of the bottom of the Gulf. Hang on, we got one more comment.
They also said, instead of being angry, send love to the Gulf. Send love to all the animals that are suffering. Send love to the planet. Because you got to counteract the anger. It doesn't make it any better. That is a negative emotion. Send love. And it will become better that way. The love is the most powerful energy in the world.
I stand corrected. Send love and money. You know, sometimes, as Joel was saying, when we work in high technology, we kind of lose sight of the spiritual side of things. And every once in a while, you have an awakening. You have a combination of technology and spirituality. It sort of changes the paradigm. Now, we have with us a very gifted engineer who used to work for Lockheed Skunk Works, one of the brightest minds in the organization. And one day, upon meeting William Henry, he had an awakening. He saw in ancient technology some modern technology that he could resurrect and make work. And we're lucky to have him here. He's going to be presenting tomorrow. In fact, we're going to be displaying some of his technology tonight during the Skywatch. His name is John Riley. His website, zeropointresearch.com. Here's John.
Thank you, Brooks. Yes, I'm so glad to be here for my third year. And my first year here was absolutely amazing. Brooks said, you just need to be a part of this. And I felt it like in my heart. And I said, I just have to be there. And what was great is that we got to witness some really amazing discoveries in regards to the human intention and what happens when we come together as a collective and bring energy fields that have been long forgotten on this planet back once again. And actually, it's a increase of source energy. We can call it many things. But when we understand that we have the ability to remember the way that the planet was at one particular time, and then when we come together as a collective and move ourselves in the present moment and open our hearts, something really amazing starts to happen. And we are never disappointed because we move ourselves out of expectations, out of projections of what we think is going to happen out here and what I want to experience. But when we literally open ourselves up and just become present, that's when something absolutely amazing happens. And we've never been disappointed out here. This is our third year. Last year we had 130 37 people that held hands, and we, Brooks and I, worked with an amazing intention and just got it in such an amazing space, and what came forth was just something beautiful, and everyone comes up and they're so excited about experiencing it again tonight. I think we're probably going to have over 200 people. You know, so when we see it growing and coming into a higher understanding, that we can't ask for anything better. And it's just the expansion of the self that is absolutely happening. We're remembering in such a very powerful way. So I'm really excited to be here and sharing this. Thank
you. So if you are sitting there at home, eating cookies, drinking milk, minding your own business, and you feel the planet shift slightly on its axis, it's us. Don't worry about it. Everything's under control. Now, John, you recently went to Egypt also, and this was not a long-planned trip. This was a trip that kind of came up suddenly. The opportunity made itself aware to you. It resonated just right. Everything fell into place. It was a small group of specially talented people arriving in places Americans haven't been in centuries. Did you discover something new this trip to Egypt?
When I arrive in Egypt, always something new tends to reveal itself. And this time, it did not cease to amaze in any way, shape, or form. We actually energetically found the man who has the key to Egypt. And he literally, every door that we felt that needed to be open was open. We actually walked into temples before sunrise and got to experience the energy in silence. And walking into the sacred chambers, the holiest of holies, as an individual with no one, and just being in that energy is something that you will not soon forget. And then, of course, I asked the day before we were going into the Great Pyramid, and someone mentioned the pit, and I just looked at them, I asked, I said, can that be open for us? And the next morning, they walked up to me and said, the pit is open for you. So I did the descent down into the pit. Completely alone, and within 5 minutes, the lights were turned off. So we did this journey in total blackness. And with my orb research, every time I go to Egypt and showing the photos from the temple, but when I descended down into the pit, and the first photo I took is something I'm looking forward to presenting in my lecture on Monday. You know, so it's just really amazing what we're seeing in our human consciousness, but also what our eyes are not, or our brains are not allowing us to decode, but our technology is helping us to realize what we're connected to. So yes, Egypt always is transforming in so many ways, and I'm looking forward to returning in November. We're going to be there in 11-11, and I think Brooks Agnew will be on the journey as well. So we are discussing this as we speak. But yes, Egypt is alive in many ways.
Well, it's an interesting thing, Egypt. We see mysterious holes being dug in auspicious places in front of the Sphinx by the Osirian. But the cameras aren't allowed. In fact, there's a gate usually involved, and it's a good thing that John Riley has found the man with the key to the gate. So when we go back in November, maybe we'll try to get past that gate into those tunnels and those holes and reveal to you what is buried beneath the ancient sands of Egypt. So I think we have about 3 minutes left before we have to switch over to the next program. I encourage you, when the show is over tonight, to pick up the phone and call your friends and tell them to go to eseti.org and stream this conference for the next 2 days. I promise you won't be disappointed. Tell your friends to tell their friends, this is the kind of thing that awakens the planet. This is why we're here. We come here to speak to a few hundred. We hope to reach a few thousand with this message, as it goes out from the patrons who travel from all over the world here to East City Ranch to hear these presentations, this mighty research that's been done for decades and decades by many experts that are here today. We appreciate you showing up with us today. I'm going to hand the phone back over to James just to give you one final farewell. Here we go.
All right. You know, this has always been a dream for me, and it's right now I'm walking the dream, and it doesn't seem real. It's I have all these just awesome people in my living room right now, and you know, these are all profound international speakers, just brilliant minds sitting here And, you know, this is something that I dreamed probably 24 years ago that's finally manifesting. And I just stuck with it. You know, I never gave it up, and everybody told me I was crazy. Some guy, nutcase. Yeah. Well, I already know I'm crazy, so that's okay. But, you know, I'd rather be insane than out of sane. So, you know, I've been insane all my life, and everybody's finding out that maybe I was walking the right road, and they're realizing that maybe they might want to change their direction and get back on the good red road, you know, that we used to be on. So, but anyway, it's just an amazing experience hanging out with all this wonderful energy. The room is wall-to-wall orbs in there. People are speaking, and they're not only being cheered on by these standing ovations after they finish, there's a lot of dancing going on above the people, and these orbs are dancing all around, and we're actually photographing this and filming it. So we have all these little dancing orbs coming in and joining the party. And I always told people, you know, if I could just charge admission to the orbs, I'd be a very rich man because there are thousands of orbs in there, but I don't really think that way. But we are going to put a little energetic gate next time, and they have to manifest some frog skins or something for us. But anyway, you know, it's just an awesome experience. It's a dream come true. I'm deeply honored and by the presence here of all these wonderful people and the audience that's come here. And it's just like one giant happy family getting together. And we have people from all cultures, all races, all beliefs coming together in harmony. And this really interesting phenomenon here. Nobody has any spears or arrows or shields, or we're all getting together. What a novel idea. You know, and having a blast here and sharing. So this was my dream, to bring all the different masters, the cultures, everybody together in peace and harmony. And that is happening. It is manifesting. And it's just an awesome experience. So basically, we're out of time, unfortunately. I wish I could pass this phone around to everybody else in here and stay on the line for about 5 more hours, but we can't. But anyway, this is James Young with As You Wish Talk Radio signing off. Have a great evening, and you might want to walk outside and look up once in a while. You know, shut your TV off, kind of like set your beer aside, you know, walk out the door, pull out a lawn chair. You can take your beer with you if you want, you know, but just watch the skies and see what's going on up there. You know, everybody says, I've never seen a UFO, and I said, did you ever look for one? And they said, no, you know. So I said, maybe you should go out and look for one. But anyway, we're signing off. Have a great evening, and watch the skies. Good night.